Hello, this is Action Jackson, and I'm starting another podcast, and this podcast is focusing specifically on the plea in abeyance, and I think it deserves its own podcast. It's very important. There's a lot at stake. A lot of people don't understand them, and a lot of people take them. And the problem is, the reason why they take them is because there's a lot of people that never been charged with a crime before. They've never gone through the criminal system. They don't know what it's about. They don't know what rights they have. They don't know that they have a right to look at the evidence. They don't know that they can plead not guilty. They don't know that the state has to prove that they're guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And so there's no reason not to rush things and say that you're guilty. And what this is it looks like a really good offer. So basically, starting out, first of all, I want you to know that I am not your attorney. I'm not giving you legal advice specifically on your case. I'm only licensed in Utah. I am not giving legal advice to anyone outside of Utah. And all I can tell is if you need legal advice on your case, go get a criminal defense attorney who can consult you on your case. This is just a general podcast, general information about the criminal defense system to help people better understand it, what's going on, and hopefully the general public will be benefited to better understand what goes on in the courtroom basically every weekday. So, what we're talking about today is the plea in abeyance. Some people say plea in obedience, plea in abeyance, plea in chance, but no, it's a plea in abeyance. And basically what it is, this is a contract between, for example, if I enter it, it's a contract between me and the state of Utah. And what the terms are is, number one, this is the big one, is that I plead guilty on this charge. That is huge, because when I plead guilty, I'm waiving my right to testify at trial. I'm waiving my right to cross-examine witnesses. I'm waiving my right to trial, waiving my right to even have an attorney to hire to look at this. And I'm waiving my right to have the state prove this beyond a reasonable doubt, which is a jury or a trial. You may not have a jury in some of your cases if it's an infraction, Class B misdemeanors and above. You can have a jury. So, basically... it's not a good idea to plead guilty until you have consulted an attorney on this to know whether or not it's a good idea specifically for your case, facts, and circumstances. So I highly, highly, highly advise everyone who is given an offer of a plea in abeyance to first consult an attorney before that, and not the prosecutor. The prosecutor is an attorney, but he's not an attorney for you and your interests. He's representing the state. You need to hire a criminal defense attorney. And so also the other terms of the contract usually is they say that if you don't commit a crime for 6 months or a year or whatever the term is, and you pay usually a fine, they will dismiss your case. And that's why it sounds so good, is that your case is going to be dismissed. You can get it over that very day, sign the contract, and then you're on your way. You don't have to deal with it. You don't have to go back to court. You don't have to see the judge. You don't have to see the prosecutor. And you can go back to living your legal, sane life without having to take work off again to go and take care of this. The problem is there's so many things involved when someone pleads guilty. It's not that just you're waiving your constitutional rights, but there's also practical implications in your day-to-day life, such as trying to rent an apartment. A lot of apartment complexes will look at your case if you plead guilty and say, we don't want you here because you pled guilty on this charge. And I see people who even have a dismissal on their record get denied or need to show more evidence of that case in order to appease the landlord. Also, employers will do the same. They'll do a criminal background check, they'll see your record, and if there's a guilty on it, they'll look at it with a raised eyebrow and may not want to hire you because of that. And you may say, well, it's going to get dismissed. Well, yeah, it's going to get dismissed, but that doesn't matter to them, and they can still choose to do what they want to do. Also, insurance premiums. If it's a traffic offense and you plead guilty, even though it's going to get dismissed, your insurance company can look at it and say, hey, you pled guilty, we're going to raise your premiums. So that's also something to look at. There's so many things involved. Also, the big one is if you are not a citizen of the United States and you plead guilty on one of these and it's a crime that is punishable by a certain amount, Immigration and Customs Enforcement can look at it and say, you pled guilty to this charge that has a maximum penalty of this, this, and this, which under our guidelines says that we can remove you from the United States. So they can start removal proceedings, and you say, hey, well, it's going to get dismissed. It doesn't matter. You pled guilty to it. So it sounds good. Sounds like something that can be taken care of quickly. Sounds like the prosecutor's a nice guy. He explained everything well to you. He's got a nice smile on his face. And I mean, I understand. I mean, they're trying to do their job, and that's understandable. But they don't know you. They don't know your circumstances. They don't know your background. And like I say again, everyone needs to talk to an attorney before they enter these agreements. In the long run, it might be more cost effective to sit down and get a consultation with an attorney than having to pay the consequences later on what you didn't know about when you entered the agreement. I was up in Washington for a year doing criminal defense, and Washington kind of has the same thing, but it doesn't have as many spikes as Utah's agreement. It's called a stipulated order of continuance. And so what that means is when you enter the agreement, they continue the case for 6 months or for a year or however long, and then you don't commit any new criminal law violations, and then they open up the case, and then they dismiss it. And what's different about Washington is you don't have to plead guilty, which is good. Utah, the spikes are that you have to plead guilty. It's an easy way for the prosecutors to get a lot of guilty records on and without having to do a lot of legwork. It sounds like a good idea, but in the end, it can be pretty nasty, essentially. And so I would say, please get an attorney before you enter these agreements, especially if the crime is Class B misdemeanor or higher. Traffic offenses, also, I would say talk to an attorney about it, because in Utah, the problem is that you can pick up an offense that's just a traffic offense, and that can be a violation of the plea in abeyance. And it's so subjective. I mean, traffic offenses, every city has different ordinances as far as, for example, you can only park on the street at a certain time during the year because of snow removal. There's just so many nuances, misdemeanors that you may not know about, that you may pick up. So it's very, very hard to follow the agreement because they say no new criminal law violations. And then you commit a traffic offense, and then you violated the plea and abeyance agreement. And then it gets worse from there because you already pled guilty to that charge. And now what the state can do is reinstate the original sanctions that they wanted on that crime so they can have you pay more money for that. And if it's a crime that involves jail time, you can possibly do jail time. And it's easy then for them to prove. So also with the plea and abeyance, if you violate the terms of a condition, like I said, they can automatically find you guilty. And what happens is it's kind of like your probation, basically. And so if you commit a new crime, then that's a probation violation on your plea and abeyance. You broke the contract. And like I said, they'll reinstate new fines and whatnot. And it's very easy for them to find you guilty. And what makes it messy is that you've pled guilty on this prior crime, and now you have this new crime, and you just pled guilty just a while ago on this other crime. And so now you're facing two crimes, one that you've already pled guilty to. So it really makes things a lot worse. I've put this in my blog, and one thing that I've learned entering these agreements in Washington is that if you have a drug problem, sometimes a lot of people get charged with a lot of thefts in a short amount of time when there's a drug problem. And so it's definitely not a good idea to enter an agreement like this if someone is currently facing a drug addiction problem. If they can get taken care of, that's good. But if theft charges are coming up every other month or every 2 months, it's really not a good idea. Also, that's one thing to look at is your criminal history and how well you are at not committing new crimes. So it definitely is very important to look at all your options before entering this, talking to an attorney. There's so many things involved. And so that's my spiel on a plea and abeyance. I think it's important to get addressed right off the bat here in this podcast at the beginning, because usually the prosecutors, they give these offers the very, very beginning before anyone can think about hiring an attorney. So that's my spiel on that. Hopefully it helps people out and helps them better understand what plea and abeyance is. And I guess the next podcast will kind of focus on the middle between the arraignment and the pretrial and what happens between then. And it's kind of more behind the scenes. It's if you have a private attorney hired, what he does as far as getting discovery and talking to the prosecutor. So hopefully we can address that next episode. Thanks for listening. This is Brian Action Jackson.